Folks, we'll make a start tonight to our midweek service and turn to the hymn 675. Well, we're not quite turning to it. It's all on the slides here above me. Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost, who will go salvation storytelling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. Come to pray tonight, there's a few matters to remember particularly. Robert McCauley was brought into hospital yesterday with a very serious chest infection, and they've kept him there, and he's still in A&E. He hopes to get out soon, but getting treatment that is needful. We've been praying for Rachel, the daughter of the Reverend David Linden, who, though she got home this week on her birthday, is seriously ill, and you've been remembering that situation. So do pray for this lady. We Darcy Henry, Hugh and Julie's granddaughter, Dorothy McGugan, Reverend David Smith, and the other ministers that are laid aside, Reverend Gary Goods, Paul Fitzsimons, Lindsay Wilson. And we're thinking of Simon, obviously his future, as he has finished college now, finished with us after his student year with us. looking now to the Lord for the future. He has received calls and he'll give an answer tomorrow night at Presbytery. So let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we still our hearts in thy holy presence just now as we draw near to the throne of heavenly grace through the merit of Christ. We come upon redemption ground, the grounds of peace, the grounds of the precious blood, where we know that we are accepted in the beloved Christ our Redeemer. We thank you tonight for the triumph of divine grace in all of our lives, for that day when we were saved by the grace of God, drawn powerfully, irresistibly to Christ, when the Holy Spirit entered and we were born of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the blessed keeping power of our God, keeping us until this day. We do pray that thou will help us to continue to persevere, to walk with God every day, to burn a bright light, to be a good testimony where we are, in our families, in our neighborhood, in the workplace, young people in school. Lord, we pray that we will burn brightly for the Savior. We are told to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We do remember the sick of the congregation, those connected to us. We pray very especially for Robert tonight in hospital, that you will be with him. May he be very conscious of the Lord's presence. May he know your touch in his life. May you raise him up to health and strength again. And these others, Lord, that have been much in our minds, and we know there's others too that need your touch, we just commend to the grace of God tonight that thou will be with them. Thank thee for this missionary hymn and this missionary meeting. We praise thee for the great commission of Christ to go into the world and preach the gospel. We thank thee for his gracious promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And so therefore, every servant of Christ going forth to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ is confident, first of all, that they're sent by the Lord, and confident that the Lord will journey with them as he has promised. He will keep them in the hollow of his hand, and he will bless the ministry to which he has called them. And Lord, we pray for the furtherance of the gospel to the nations of the world. Thank thee for the organization that is represented here tonight by your servants who have come to speak to us. Thank thee for the many years, the decades, in fact, where they have sent out into all the world so much literature, visiting the country themselves. We thank you, Lord, for the work that has been done, the seed that has been sown, for precious souls that have been garnered in unto Christ. Thank thee, Lord, for this ministry. And we pray that you will bless and provide and protect and guard them. Encourage them tonight as they come into our midst. We pray that they'll feel very much home with us as we pray for them and for the work that they do. Lord, may your presence be here. Pour out the Spirit of God upon our people this evening. We ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Warm word of welcome to you in the building and those that are listening in on the internet tonight. Just a few announcements very quickly to make. Youth fellowship tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Some of the parables of Christ are being studied at the youth meetings. Jonathan Story, one of our students, will be responsible to speak on the parable of the prodigal son. Friday is also presbytery for the elders. It will be by Zoom, and it's also at 8 o'clock. Just want to mention that the wedding on Saturday of Ian and Stephanie has been postponed until Friday the 29th of October due to COVID. This has been a great disappointment, as you can imagine, to the couple, to the families, to the parents, and we just commend them to God's grace in their time of need. Pray for them, please. On the Lord's Day, we are coming back to the church for the early time of prayer at 8 o'clock. Sabbath school, 10:30. The Bible class at 10:30, as Mervyn deals with the things concerning Christ. The worship service, 12 noon, we come to our study in Mark's Gospel again. The Lord's table will follow the worship service, and we will have the opportunity, God willing, to receive new members. Then in the evening time, on the day that we have the Lord's table, the office bearers of the church has a season of prayer. That will be 5:30. The gospel meeting at 7, and this month is going to be a special month, as you know, as we've announced. Mr. John Weir is coming to testify, and we have leaflets printed. Do you remember the time of prayer, coming back physically to the building at 6:15? And that's the leaflet that is at the back there. Make use of them, give them out, and if you have it on your social networking system, get it out to your friends and your family as well. The Youth Challenge recommences on Tuesday the 5th of October at 7 o'clock. That's our children's meetings. And the Harvest Weekend is the following weekend, Saturday the 9th of October and the Lord's Day the 10th of October. And we'll make an announcement about that this coming Lord's Day with regard to bringing the things in that are necessary and getting the church decorated. Want to announce something very special just now, and that is a season of prayer that the session have organized as we pray for one another. And the great burden at this time in the minds and hearts of the session is really just to pray for ourselves as our families. We're all part of families, aren't we? We want to pray for the children, the grandchildren growing up in these days. And so we're having a 12-hour prayer meeting from 12 noon until midnight that night. And you'll see at the back there, there's a sheet. And the reason for this is we're dividing it into 12 different hours. And there's an elder responsible for each hour. And we want to make sure that we have people at every hour. So this slide will tell you it's a 12-hour prayer meeting. I want you to come as often as you can. We would like as many of you to commit to the various times, and this sheet is provided. There's wee boxes. Try and put three names in each box. Now, there could be 40 coming to a particular hour, but we just want to make sure that we have 10 people at each hour, if possible. So that's the reason for the sheet. I want you to commit to that. Plan towards the day, covenant to be with us, and be in prayer between now and then. The main purpose, of course, is, as I've mentioned, to pray for our families. That's Wednesday, the 13th of October. I want to thank you sincerely for your tithes and your offerings to God's work. The pallet was shipped to Romania, should arrive tomorrow, we hope, at the latest. And the one that we sent a few weeks ago has arrived, 600 pairs of shoes, and they've begun to give these out to the children there in this school that has been set up for poor children. Our brother Andy Foster is making his way home. He has gone to Holland. They're spending a little bit of time with his wife's parents. It's an easier route to come from Uganda to Holland than to here because of the COVID restrictions. And this was his latest work on the third apartment there at our Christian school. And you'll see that he's done a great job there, certainly with the kitchen. And a family can live here, or a group of people going out to work alongside the church there can stay in this apartment. The school has purchased their windows and they're hoping to put them in. That's the Carmichael School in Pakistan, this little building that we have supported for the children. And you want to pray for these kids. There's upwards now of 90 children coming to the school. And as you'll hear from this, the wee boy is saying ABC.
Shabash.
I just think that must be well done. So whenever you're able to do what he can do and you can do A through to Z in Urdu, then you have achieved as much as he has. He's done it in English. We sent the grant for Bibles to help with the girls of the Tharatara Centre, another contact that we have, and these Bibles will probably not be available until November. They're just having difficulty tracking a supply down from the bookshop. And this was them out in worship this past week. Continue to pray for Dipankar in India as he instructs these young people in the doctrines of God's word. So just very quickly, we leave those things with you. We sing together 682, Hark the voice of Jesus crying, "Who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away?" Just to be on the safe side, as always. But tonight is a special deputation service for the revival movement, the Every Home Crusade, as many of you will remember that name. And we have Clive and Heather, brother and sister, Clive Allen and Heather Mercer. And some of you will know these folks, and they're going to share with us the burden that's in their heart, the ministry that they represent. And brother and sister, we're looking forward to it. You feel very much at home as you come among the congregation here at Hebron. Thank you.
Well, it's lovely to be with you tonight. My name's Clive Allen, Heather Mercer, my sister, and already we feel really at home, and we're really enjoying the hymns and the lovely music, and also seeing the missionary heart you folk have here. It's so encouraging to us. Our father, Ernie Allen, and our mother, Kathleen, began the work away many, many years ago. My father finished Bible college about 1948, and commenced the Revival Movement Association around 1948-49, and then the Every Home Crusade branch around 1960. And the Revival Movement was sending out Charles Finney booklets, and the Every Home Crusade was every home in Fermanagh, Tyrone, County Londonderry, and all sorts of places that received the literature. And there was foot soldiers back then. I'm thinking of a man called Hammy Moore that worked in the Irish Peninsula back in the early 60s in the Every Home Crusade. And now he's out in Romania and gets gospel literature in Romania from us. So the like of Hammy Moore and many others, and some here, I'm sure, even tonight, that can remember way back to the 60s. Hammy Moore was a foot soldier in the Irish Peninsula, Newton Ards, Ballyhalbert, all those places in the early 60s. Now getting literature from us in Romania and working out in Romania. So a lot is going on and the time's going in, and it's lovely to meet the Reverend Park again tonight. And him and I go back a long time. He can go back to Redcar Street, and that's 30-odd years ago. So that's how far some of us go back. And there's a few familiar faces as well that I remember from the past here as well. So Heather and I are delighted to be here. I'll give do a reading now, and then Heather's going to give a good report, and then I'll give some thoughts about the Work for God's Word as well. So without further ado, if you have a Bible, I'll just read a short passage from Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And her water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And then just over for a New Testament reading in Hebrews 12, and just the first three verses. In these days of COVID and all sorts of things, isn't it wonderful that we have God's word in Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious word. Now I'll call on Sister Heather to come and give a full report of the work of Every Home Crusade.
It's really lovely to be with you tonight, and just to bring you up to date with what's happening in Every Home Crusade. We're printing literature in 95 languages, and we're sending it out to over 170 countries of the world. We have two factories, our main factory in Canalan, and then we have our original factory in Clara Street in Belfast, and both these factories going ahead producing literature. So I'm just going to start by showing a short video of the factory in Canalan and the machines at work.
Facing the task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes us love for ease. We who rejoice
Work and the amount of literature that's being produced. I want to share with you now about some of the countries that the literature is going to. Very often it seems to be that God lays his hand on a particular country for blessing, and that would just seem to be the case at the moment with Romania. We work mainly with two organisations in Romania. One is a brethren man called Paul Williams, and he's been involved in tent ministry for 14 years. And he supplies tents for various counties in Romania. Since May, they've had tents in 80 villages and towns in Romania, in 17 counties, and then also in three locations in the neighbouring country of Moldova. And they pitch the tents in all sorts of places: football stadiums, believers' gardens, car parks, even a former rubbish tip. And during this summer period, over 12,000 children have gone to children's meetings held in the tents, and 10,000 adults have been going to meetings as well. And they've seen quite a few people coming to know the Lord. And what has really encouraged them is that people who have come in previous years are going on well with the Lord. They've become baptised, and they've also joined local assemblies. And Paul Williams is a real goer. We're printing 100,000 calendars for him in Romania, and we do that every year. And we've also printed 250,000 of our tract, The Secret, which he translated into Romanian. And there's such an appetite for God's word at the moment in Romanian, in Romania, that he has got planning permission to build a distribution warehouse. So a real goer, and the Lord is really blessing. We also work with Child Evangelism Fellowship in Romania as well, and they've had to adapt their programme this past summer because of COVID. They normally would have had residential camps, but they've been having five-day clubs instead. And there was a lovely testimony that Claire Bain shared with us. A lady came and brought her little daughter to one of the five-day clubs. And the mother said that she had never heard these stories before. She'd grown up in the era of communism in Romania, and that was the very first time that she had heard them. And that mother said all parents should come along to the meetings with their children, she said, because there's so much to learn. And we also heard about another lady who came again with her children. And this lady trusted the Lord as her saviour and asked for prayer for her husband, who is an alcoholic. So it's just been great to hear these reports coming back from Romania. And we're so happy to partner with them in supplying the literature that they use. Moving on then to another country, and that's Russia. And at the minute, we're involved with a very big project with Every Home for Christ in Russia. They have asked us for 4 million Gospels of John and 2 million leaflets on the subject of prayer. And they're actually focusing on central Russia, which has a population of 50 million. A third of Russia's population lives there. And they have been giving out literature. And what they have found is that 80% of the churches in Russia consider literature to be obsolete, to be old-fashioned. But when they ask them, well, what would you use instead? They have no reply. But the 20% of the churches that do believe in the power of the gospel through literature, they have been going ahead really very zealously giving out the literature. And even when there was a law brought in against missionary activity, they have been going ahead. So that's some of our Irish Creamy Butter boxes full of Russian material out there in central Russia. Just want to share a little testimony about this man here. This pastor was actually in a conference for pastors, but he just felt totally uneasy. In fact, he couldn't settle himself at all. He felt the Lord telling him to go out and start witnessing. So he went out of the conference and he came across this man, very thin man, a man with a lot of fear in his eyes. And the pastor began right away just sharing the gospel with him and urging him to become a Christian. And together they prayed the prayer of repentance. And after the man had finished praying, the pastor could see that the fear had left his eyes. And believe it or not, 30 minutes later, he heard from another passerby that that man had died. And he realized then how wise he had been to listen to the Spirit's prompting to go out of the conference. Moving on then to another country, and it's the country of Rwanda. And I just think this picture is fantastic. Bible education services that we have worked with in Rwanda, before COVID, they were reaching about 30,000 teenagers a week with the gospel. And here you can see them with our butter boxes on their heads. And a lot of them are girls. And I don't even think I could lift one of these boxes, never mind put it on my head. But, you know, there is just a real hunger out in Rwanda for the gospel amongst young people. And that contrasts with here in the UK. In the UK now, they say that 95% of under 18-year-olds don't go to church. And between 18 and 25, it's only 2%. And yet it's lovely to see those young people there with the gospel boxes on their heads. And now that there has been COVID, BES have continued their work. They've done a lot of it through technology, through WhatsApp and Facebook and food parcels. And it has dropped down from 30,000 teenagers a week to 2,000. But they're still hearing of young people coming to know the Lord. And for us, it's great to support them in supplying literature. Then moving on to Mozambique. In Mozambique, people wouldn't have Bibles. The only thing really that believers have is the Gospels of John that we print and send out. And this lady here called Sarita, she came to know the Lord through reading the Gospel of John. And she began to attend a little Bible study group. And she didn't realise that every time she left the house, her husband was really jealous. He actually thought, he couldn't understand why she was going out. And he thought she was having an affair. And he began to rummage through her handbag. And one day he found the Gospel of John and he read it and he trusted the Lord. And I thought that was, isn't that tremendous how the Lord can change a family? But you know, there's a lot of witchcraft in Mozambique. People have been brought up with that and their first resort when things go wrong is to the witch doctors. But again, it's wonderful that we're able to reach the like of a country of Mozambique with the Gospel of John. We're also involved in a very large project in South Sudan with the Mailbox Club. They asked us to supply them with 3 million booklets for children and then teachers' guides. And these are huge quantities. This year we're printing 1.2 million because we couldn't do 3 million all in one go. And then they've been shipped out to South Sudan. And I don't know what you know about South Sudan, but it's one of the most dangerous and volatile countries in the world. And even before the literature gets to South Sudan, it's a lot of obstacles to go through. And we heard lately that terrorist groups in South Sudan, they were shooting customs officials and lorry drivers. And the roads out there are very, very rough and inaccessible. So some of our literature was having to go to the Upper Nile region, and it went on a boat. And in order to go on the boat, it had to be unpacked and wrapped in polythene and then put back in the boxes. And then this is it going up the Nile. So the people were sitting on top of the boxes. And the journey normally lasts 10 days, but a militant terrorist group took the boat and were holding it for ransom. And the trip actually took 2 months. But the literature finally arrived, and the folk were absolutely delighted to get it. Now, what they are saying that is, since COVID has hit Mozambique as well, children's welfare has really gone down. Children's NGOs are reporting an increase in pregnancies amongst young girls, gender-based violence, child marriage, and fears that the girls will never get back to school. So there's an awful lot to pray for that country. But, you know, the wonderful thing is this. Mailbox Club have an agreement with the Education Department in South Sudan. The Department of Education wants every boy and girl in schools in South Sudan to hear the gospel. And I think that's tremendous, you know, so different from here in the UK, a government that wants their children to learn about the Lord Jesus. And that's a copy of the letter from the Department of Education to the Mailbox Club. And here you see some of the booklets that we print in our factory being used by boys and girls out there in South Sudan. And just a little testimony from this girl in the wheelchair. She lives in a village near the capital, which is Juba. And while studying the explorer's lessons, she accepted the Lord Jesus as her saviour. And she wrote a little testimony to say that while she cannot walk or run about like other children, she knows that one day in heaven she'll be completely healed and living with Jesus, and that has made life bearable for her. So isn't it wonderful? Lots of literature going out, but it's when it gets into the hand of an individual that it can make such a difference to their lives. Just a few more photographs of the literature there in South Sudan. Nigeria was the country that first got from us, the first overseas country that we sent literature to, and now we're sending a lot of literature there. We have a depot in Lagos that we operate in partnership with ACTS, which is part of Mission Africa. But at the moment, we're having quite a lot of difficulty with getting containers. I don't know if you know it, but international shipping is chaotic at the moment. And so we have sent containers to Nigeria, but they hadn't arrived. They'd kind of all been backed up. And in Nigeria, in our depot, there was no literature and a list of about 450 churches looking for it. But one of the containers has now arrived and another one is due to arrive. So that literature will once again go out in Nigeria. Again, Nigeria is a troubled country. A lot of violence there, especially in the north. Another country that we send the literature is the Philippines. And again, the schools were closed down because of COVID. And the CEF workers there, they asked school principals, could they put literature into the little education packs that were being sent to boys and girls at home? And that was agreed. And some of the CEF workers have actually continued on with their work. This lady here, she has been holding 77 Good News Clubs in tribal areas, and these have been attended by 2,000 children. Another worker was also reaching out to Muslim relatives of hers and in the neighbourhood where she lives. She is a former Muslim herself, and just really praying about reaching out. So isn't it wonderful that people are not deterred and find a way through, even in the most difficult of times? Then it's the country of Albania. And again, we have been supplying literature there. And they have been doing, the team out there has been doing really what my father envisaged here, visiting every home with Christian literature. And there was a lady there called Therese, and her home was destroyed, totally destroyed in the earthquake back in November 2017. And she and her family, they didn't have a place to stay and were living in terrible conditions after the earthquake. And in addition to that, they were tortured by demons. They couldn't sleep at night. There was this demonic activity just surrounding that particular family. And the team went to visit this lady, Therese, and they discovered that for over 20 years, she had been wanting a Bible. And they were able to give her a Bible. And Therese has come to know the Lord. And she has reported back to the team that this demonic activity has ceased. Her family are able, they're trusting the Lord, and they're going to sleep at nights in peace and confidence. So that is just some of the countries that we're sending literature to. There are many more, but I couldn't go through them all, and you wouldn't want me to. But I just want to leave some things for prayer. One is the international shipping, if you would pray about that. And we're also having problems getting paper. Believe it or not, there's no paper coming out of China because it's too expensive to ship. The like of the United States is not exporting paper either. So we're having a few difficulties getting paper, and it's also becoming more expensive. But also an item for praise. This past year, we've done very few deputation meetings because churches, as you know, haven't been meeting the same. And yet the Lord has so graciously supplied our needs. Our finance this year has been really, really good. And not only that, a lot of people have been adding their name to our mailing list, and we've been wondering where they've come from. And one of these people is actually a man called Samson. And Samson lives in Singapore, and I wondered how on earth did Samson ever hear about us and asked, you know, start to support the work. So I emailed him. I was thanking him for a gift that he had sent. And it turns out that Samson is actually originally from India, and he's a Telugu speaker. And his mother, for many years, supported every home crusade in India, which we have supplied with literature for donkey's years. And because his mother had used the tracts from every home crusade in India and supported that work, he then decided to support us. And I thought, isn't it wonderful that the Lord, he knows, and he lays it on people's hearts to support different organisations. And he has just been so faithful to us throughout this past year. And we give him all the praise and all the glory. So I hope that has been a few encouragements for you. And I'll hand over now to Clive.
Thank you so much to Heather for such a full report. And I learn a whole lot of things whenever I come in these deputation meetings with Heather myself, because I tend to still be in the machine sort of end and all sorts of end ordering chemicals and inks and things like that. But it's thrilled my heart, and hopefully it's thrilled your hearts as well. And I detect among you folk what we're saying tonight really has a resonance, because you're a missionary church. I can see that. You have such an interest. We've already seen prayer points about Pakistan and Romania and other places like that. So let's just pray, and then I'm just going to say a few things to encourage our hearts from God's word and to challenge us as well. Lord, we thank thee for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. We just thank thee for the work you're doing around our world in these days. And we thank thee that you are so faithful to this church and to our ministry and to so many ministers, even in these difficult COVID days. And we just think and look at these pictures, and there's so many prayer points that we have. And we do just pray later as we go to prayer that we might remember all these things. Thank thee too for thy word and for the great encouragement that is to us in these days. And help us now as we just turn to thy word for a little while, that we might be challenged and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I just want to, and I think I'm preaching to the converted a bit tonight, but I just want to, in the time I have a lot of, just to challenge you and encourage you about a couple of ministries that we're really involved with, and you can see it in the pictures here, but I know you're involved as well, and then a little scripture at the end. And the first ministry that God put in my heart lately was very much the children's ministry that we're involved with, and you as well. And you know, Brother D.L. Moody, many, many years ago, was asked, "How many converts did you have last night?" And he answered, 2 1/2. And the man said to him, "You mean 2 adults and 1 child? And he says, "No, 2 children and 1 adult. He says, "A child's life saved is a whole life saved and a useful life." And that was Brother D.L. Moody from a way back, talking a lot of sense. And you know, that is true. And in our ministry, and I know in your ministry here, children's work is so vital and so important. And if you're in our factory and you see the pictures tonight, there's flashcards and there's children's calendars and there's correspondence courses and there's scripture booklets and all sorts of things. Child Evangelism Fellowship, Bible Education Services, Mailbox Club, Feed My Lambs, and the Free Presbyterian Church as well. And we're sending out to all sorts of people, and it's wonderful. Children's literature. And you know, I took time to have a look at a few of the statistics about children, just to encourage our hearts and to keep us going in these days. And one of the things I read was, whatever a child believes by the age 13, in most cases, is what that child will be, that person will die believing. Whatever they believe age 13, in most cases, is what that person will die believing. And isn't that a challenge to us to reach children with the gospel in these days? And then some missions have this 4-14 ministry window, 4 to 14 age group, and they find that's the most likely age people will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. And missions and ministries find children's work and young people's work is the most fruitful work. So let's be engaged, and we're busy in our work, you're busy here, and let's encourage people to be engaged. You know, when I was looking at the mission statement of the Mailbox Club who were helping there in South Sudan and other places, and they say the mission is to win children and young people of the world to Jesus, help nurture them into spiritual maturity through Bible courses and into local churches. What a wonderful mission statement. Nurture them into spiritual maturity through the Bible and into local churches, and then reach other people. It's so wonderful to be involved in this work in these days. And you know, that's why I read that scripture earlier on about, I just want to mention one or two children, even in the Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, and God loves children. And you know, it's an unusual reading, and I came upon it one time in one of our daily reading books and work, and it's the story there of Abraham sending Hagar and Ishmael out in chapter 21 of Genesis, and such a sad thing, and she was sent with a bottle of water, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, it says in verse 15, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, because she was afraid he was going to die, and she was going to die as well. And then verse 17, God heard the voice of the lad. It wasn't Hagar's voice he heard. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad. Isn't that a wonderful testimony of God's goodness and love? So let's be busy in these days, reaching children and young people as well with the gospel. And you know, the other person I think very much of, and I love Samuel, and in 1 Samuel 2 and 3, it just tells us about him. And you know, after Samuel, he was the last prophet, he was the first prophet, and he was the last judge. And he was a wonderful man. After him, there was flawed sort of people came in. But it says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, I'll read it or you can look it up if you want. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And then in verse 21, 1 Samuel 2, the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favour both with the Lord and also with men. And then what a wonderful statement in 1 Samuel 3 and 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and that let none of his words fall to the ground. The child Samuel, the Lord was with him. Let's pray in these days. Let's be busy in these days, reaching children with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and asking God, a bit like Hagar and Ishmael, and a bit like the young Samuel and Eli, to put his hand richly upon them, and they live useful. Look at the useful life that Samuel lived. What a wonderful testimony it is. And of course, the Lord Jesus, we find him as well in the New Testament. When the disciples would have pushed the children away, he was so keen to have the children with him, and he was exactly the same. So just leave that with you tonight in our ministry, and I can see here as well. And let's pray for other churches and other missions to catch the vision, to reach the children with the gospel. Well, then the second very important ministry of our mission, and yours as well, I believe, and it's such an important thing, is the distribution of God's precious word. And we do that through scripture booklets. Going away back to Ernie Allen, our father, he got a little scripture booklet, and it was a simple booklet. It was just Genesis, different portions through to Revelation, and then how to become a Christian in the back. And we still print that in different languages. And then the Gospel of John has already been mentioned, and New Testaments, especially in Spanish and other languages, we send them out as well. And you know, we stand on God's word. And you know, I think as we send out these Gospels of John in multiple languages, it's so wonderful to read what it says in John chapter 20. And I'll just turn it up here. And as we send the Gospel of John, that we stand in these verses, John 20, 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. As we send God's word out through the Gospels of John, we stand in that sort of verse. And we have seen souls converted through the Gospel of John. Wonderful to see that. And then just back as we send out the Bibles as well, one of my favourite passages is Luke 24, and this is where after Jesus met the disciples and he had risen again, and it says, Luke 24, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Let's stand in God's word, and let's distribute God's word, and trust these verses as we see souls won to the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. And you know, I had actually a note about, and I have the report with me tonight, and in fact it might be the report we have out there at the back. I'd written about the sad state there in Russia. You think in Russia, of all places, with the communism and things like that, but they're telling us about 80% of the churches are beginning to think, literature evangelism is becoming obsolete, but the 20% are going forward. Let's be part of that 20% in these days. And you know, I love Psalm 19, and I have it here in front of me. And as we send out God's word, what a wonderful thing. It says in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." You know, in these difficult days, these COVID days, these days of declension, as we send out the John's Gospel, the scripture booklets, and the Bibles as well, and the New Testaments, the law of the Lord, it's a perfect word. It's a sure word. It's a right word. And it's a pure word. And what does it do? It converts people. It converts the soul. It makes the simple wise. And it rejoices hearts. I read of a man who was so sad, and then he started to read the Bible every day. He was a very sad man. I read his testimony away over in America. He was a soldier, and he came back from Vietnam. And he was a very sad man. And his girlfriend or his wife said to him, "Start reading God's word every day." And this is where he, and as he read 15 minutes, and then he went to half an hour, and he went to a full hour of God's word every morning, imbibing God's word. That's what he says. The statutes of the Lord are right, and they rejoice. And he went from a very sad man to a very happy man. And he, funny enough, was a lecturer in the Moody Bible Institute. And I mentioned D.L. Moody earlier. Yes, and then finally, they're enlightening eyes. Enlightening eyes in all of these countries. Heather's talking about enlightening eyes here in Northern Ireland. Praise God. And enlightening eyes in Pakistan, where you have your school. And let's be busy in these days sending out God's word. Psalm 119 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." So let's be part of, say, the 20% in Russia that see the value of gospel literature and God's word. And let's be busy in these days sending out God's word. Children's literature, vital. Very, very vital, I believe, in these days. God's word, very, very vital. I've already read why God's word is so important in these days. Let's be busy. And even ourselves, let's spend time each day in God's word. The man I was talking about who started reading 15 minutes, then half an hour, then three quarters of an hour, his four thoughts were: be consistent. Read it consistently every day. No matter what happened to him, and he had some tragedies in his life, he said every day for 34 years he had been reading God's word. Be diligent. Concentrate on it. Put everything else out of your mind and just concentrate in that half an hour, three quarters of an hour, 15 minutes if it has to be. Just concentrate. Be diligent and be patient. Be like a farmer, you know. Just don't expect results immediately, but be patient and just pray to God that His word will reveal things to you, and be expectant. Expect that God will manifest Himself and change your life, change lives, change the lives of your friends and your relatives. Be busy in these days. Children's work, we're involved in that. Sending out God's word, let's be diligent and busy in that. And you know, just leave in these days of declension, of these days of difficulties, to just leave that verse. The verse 2 with you now as I close, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And what should we do in these days? It says in verse 1 about the weights and the sins which doth so easily beset us. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us. What do we do as we're faced with COVID and as we're faced with unusual days and paper shortages and paper price hikes, and worrying about food in the shop for Christmas and things like that? Looking onto Jesus. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And you know, when we fix our eyes and look onto Jesus, we can take our eyes off everything. Looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He was there at the very, very start. He was at the very start, and he created this world. See, he was the author and the finisher. And remember, he said on the cross, "It is finished." What a wonderful thing. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a wonderful thing. Jesus did finish the work. That's the gospel that we can proclaim in these days. And he endured the disciples' lethargy, and he endured the enemy's hostility. But I often think of him in Gethsemane, and three times he had to ask the disciples to pray, and then he said, "Rise, let us be going," even though he knew what was laid before him. Yeah, and then he said, "It is finished," and he rose again, and his precious blood had been shed. And then it says he was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a wonderful entrance Jesus received. And each one of us tonight, let's look for the well done of the Lord Jesus. And this is what we're trying to reach people with. We don't want people to hear the "depart from me." We want people to trust Christ as Savior in these days through our literature ministry, through your ministry here, and all the facets that you have, so that people don't hear "depart from me, I never knew you." They hear, "Well done, good and servant, faithful servant, enter now into the joy of thy Lord." So now I'm going to hand back to Reverend Park, and thank you again. We've enjoyed being with you, and hopefully we've left you some challenges, things for prayer, and God bless you all in the work you do here in Ballymoney. Thank you.
Good to hear from you, brother and sister. Thank you for coming, sharing those things with us. Good to hear about some of these countries that we're involved in as well, and the help that you've been to many of our churches and to the mission board, and getting literature out, your own literature and some of the books and things to Kenya. That's all been noted. And I want to thank you in the Lord's great name. Haven't been able to go the same to the mission field these days. We would bring groups of young people from the church to serve the Lord and work with the children to reach the children with the gospel. But maybe that'll open up again in the near future. You mentioned CEF. I was converted through a five-day club in 1972. Some people say, "I didn't even think you were born in 1972, but I was, and I was 10. Came to Christ. And we trust the Lord will bless this ministry. Those prayer requests have been made. The international shipping, there's a problem there. And also for the paper, that there will be a supply. And the two things that our brother Clive mentioned, reaching the children and the distribution of literature. We want to sing. We'll sing just a couple of verses of 682. "I have only one life on this earth, and this vapor is passing away."
I'm not afraid.
tying in there with what you said, Clive, the well done. You want to labour for the well done. And as someone said, don't expect the well done if you haven't done well. And we want to do well for the Lord. We continue in prayer for the sake of the church and those connected to us and the special meetings in October. So we want to seek the Lord now for a little time. We want to thank those who have joined us on the internet. We're going to say goodbye to you for now. May the Lord bless you and thank you for being part of the service tonight. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Just one after the other.